Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Bear with me 3 seconds, do I get this? There we go. Look, my sheets are flying and everything. I clearly wasn't very prepared. I do need 2 volunteers. Thank you. Well, there's 2 hands up. Do you two want to come up? It's also so exciting to be here. My GB is definitely not as big as this, but it is great to see how many of you there are. Which one of you is okay being blindfolded? We'll go with you. You're taller. Right. We'll go down the steps first because I don't want you falling on me. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to blindfold you. All right. And you can stand there because you're going to be the guide. Put that on first. You can't see what I'm doing. All right. And I'm going to put 2 pages down here. Okay. So can anyone tell me while I'm doing this what the motto of Girls Brigade is? Grace. Seek, serve, and follow Christ. Well done. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a game. So we're going to be seeking some sweets. You're going to be following the directions that you're given. And you're going to be serving because you're helping her to get to the sweets which she's looking for. Okay? But the trick is she's not allowed to stand on any of these pages. So she has to get over here without stepping on them. Do you think you can do that? Yeah? Do you think you can guide her? Yeah. All right, we'll try. Go on ahead. You have to tell her. Don't push her. You have to tell her. You speak. Tell her where to go. So forward. Yeah. Keep going forward. No, where are we going back? Do you want me to help you? Right. Forward. Go forward again. Right, she needs to miss this, so where does she have to go? Move around doesn't help. Right, go that way. That doesn't help either. Go right. Right, and then forward. Right, how's she going to get them, though? She's going to have to bend down to get them, isn't she? Right, you're not there yet. Nearly there. Can you hear them? Hey, we got them. You can take your mask off. There's 2 packets. These can share them out. Alrighty. Thank you so much for your help. Oh, thank you. So always have to lighten it a wee bit when it's GB, don't you? So if anyone can guess, what I'm going to be talking about this morning is the motto of Girls Brigade, which is seek, serve and follow Christ. But I'm not going to talk about seek, serve and follow Christ. I'm going to talk about seek, follow and serve Christ, just to make it a little bit more complicated for you. So we've already read from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34, and it talks about seeking, okay? And if I walked around Ballymena and asked people what they're seeking, I'm sure I'd get a few different answers. Some people would maybe tell me they're seeking fame. Others might tell me they're seeking money. Maybe they would say they desire nice things, likes on Instagram, different things like that, success and recognition, all things that they maybe would be seeking. We're all seeking something, right? I think everyone has a thing in their head. They know what they are seeking because that's natural and it's part of who we are. It's part of our makeup. We run after the things that our hearts want, and these things tend to shape who we are and what we do. We put time, energy, resources into going after these things that we seek and we desire. When I was in school, one of the things that I sought after was approval. The approval of both my year group and the approval of my teachers. And a lot of what I did was in order to achieve what I sought after. So I bought clothes that were apparently cool. I got a full fringe streaked with blonde. And I got a gigantic handbag that I used as a school bag. And these were all because these were things everybody had. And so to fit in, to gain the approval of everyone in my year, I had to have these things, even though I looked absolutely ridiculous. I've deleted all the photos on Facebook now because they're horrendous. And then when it came to my schoolwork, I often went over and over and over the same thing so many times because I wanted it to be as good as I could get it so that the teachers thought that I was very smart. Some people would say that's a teacher's pet. I wouldn't go that far, but I wanted to gain their approval, so I worked really, really hard at it. I invested so much time into gaining their approval. And it was no different back when Matthew was writing this passage. People sought after different things to the point that they worried about it. They sought after a great lifestyle, good clothes, nice food, things that maybe we all still seek today. I know I definitely seek nice food. And I'm not saying that being driven or having goals or wanting to do well in school is a bad thing. Do not take this as an excuse not to do homework. That's not what it is. But the passage in Matthew tells us what it is that we should be seeking first and foremost in our lives. In verse 33, it says this. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first Christ. Seek Christ first. We got it right. Seek Christ first, and everything else will fall into place. Seeking Christ in our lives. What does that mean? And what does it look like? Is Christ hiding and we have to like count to 10 and go searching for him in every nook and cranny, every hiding space that we can think of? No, I don't think he would be very good at hide and seek. He doesn't hide from us. He wants you to find him, adults and girls alike. He wants you to find him. He wants you to open up his book and look in it and learn about him. He wants you to find him on every page. He wants you to look outside and look at creation and look at the evidence of his Father throughout that. He wants you to see all the wonderful things that having him in your life would bring. And there's so many times in the Bible where it tells us if we seek him, we will find him. Not you might find him. Not sometimes he'll be there. No. If you seek him, you will find him. I love how this is put in Jeremiah 29 verse 13. It says this, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And when you find him, he calls you into this amazing journey of following him. If it wants to work. Nope. I'm going to ditch my clicker. It's not working. Yeah. So when we seek Jesus and we find him, we are called to follow him. And there are so many examples of times where Jesus invited people to follow him. And these people were ordinary people like you and me. Ordinary people who make mistakes, who seek something more, who try to fill the need to seek with worldly things when we should be filling those things with Christ. Matthew tells us this too in verses 19 to 21. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Where is your treasure? Have you ever owned something that you valued and treasured so much that you never let it out of your sight? You guarded it with all of your heart because you were so, so scared of losing it. Well, I have a ring here, and I love this ring. It was a present from my mum and my dad for my birthday years and years ago, and I love it. But a few years ago, I lost it, and I was devastated. I was convinced that I'd hoovered it up when I was cleaning my bedroom, or more realistically, whoever was cleaning my bedroom had accidentally hoovered it up, and I found, I was raging. I had no idea where this ring was. I was gurning, and I just wanted my ring. So a few years went past, and I was cleaning out my shoes, and I found my ring at the bottom of the shoe box. So you can kind of imagine how happy I was that I had found my ring again. But now I wear this ring pretty much every day because I don't want to lose it again, because I treasure it so much. It means so much to me. And my question is, are we following Christ like this? Do we treasure him with all of our hearts and spend time with him so that we never lose sight of who he is or what he's saying to us? Matthew tells us that where our treasure is, our hearts will be there also. So is your heart in Christ? And in all the love and joy and peace and hope that following him brings to our lives, or are we following the things of the world that leaves our hearts unsatisfied? Matthew goes on to tell us that we shouldn't be worrying about our lives. Why? Because when we follow Jesus, he provides all that we need, because he loves us more than we can comprehend. He loves us so much more than the birds in the sky. He loves us so much more than the flowers and the grass in the field. And yet he still provides them with whatever they need. So why would it be different with us? He knows what we need. He also knows what we don't need. So when we seek and we follow Christ, we don't have to be anxious about these things anymore, because we know that it's all under control and that God has a plan for our lives. I was being a bit silly when I was preparing this, and I didn't know what the opposite of worry was. So I looked it up, and apparently the opposite of worry is trust. Who knew? Not me. And instead of worrying about all of these things, we can trust and have confidence in the fact that there is nothing too great for him to do. I mean, he did create the world, so there's nothing too great for him to do. We can be dependent on him, and he will provide for you. He will walk through life with you, and he won't leave you to your own devices. If he did, then there would be absolutely no chance I would be up here this morning speaking to you, because without him, I would be shaken like a nervous wreck, and I also would not have the words to say. And this doesn't mean that there won't be times you won't feel worried. But talk to God about these things. Pray and tell him the things you're worried about. The things that make you feel a bit anxious. Ask him to help you with these things, and he will. There's a verse in 1 Peter, it's chapter 5, verse 7, and it says, cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. So give him all the things that make you feel anxious, and he will help you with those things. And the last thing I want to talk about is serve. When we see all the greatness that seeking and following Christ brings into our lives, our natural response is to serve him. We want to serve him in response to all that he has done for us in our lives. And although we aren't saved by serving, we are saved to serve. We as humans are wired to serve or to worship something. Verse 24 tells us, though that no one can serve two masters, either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other, because you can't serve God and money. Place what you want where it says money. You can't serve both God and popularity. You can't serve both God and fame. Why? Because serving requires devotion. It requires your all. Serving God means investing all we have into him, and helping others to seek and to follow him, because by serving others, we are serving him. And God has given us, each and every one of us, gifts, talents, and opportunities to serve him. Use them. And serving him does not have to be in the big. It doesn't have to be a blog or a YouTube series that reaches loads of different people. It doesn't have to be a summer outreach opportunity. It doesn't have to be standing up here as part of the worship team. Even though these things are all great ways to serve God. But we can also serve God in the small ways. And they mean just as much to him. We can show Jesus through our actions. We can care for people. We can love our school friends. We can set time aside to spend with him. We can make someone a cup of tea when they need it. We can ask people how they're feeling, and actually when they respond, listen to them. We can pray with them and for them, because God is far more interested in why we serve others than how. He's always looking at your heart. Serve willingly out of love for Jesus as a response of thankfulness for what he has done for you. Serve by sharing the love of Christ and as an everyday lifestyle that glorifies and reflects Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talks about this. And Eugene Patterson in The Message puts it like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, embracing what God has done for you. And that is the best thing that you can do for him. So if we run after the things that our hearts want, what are you running for? And if these things that we seek shape who we are and what we do, then what is it you're being shaped by? Are you seeking Christ? Are you running after him? Are you putting him first? Are you following him? Are you being dependent on him and all he will do in your life? Are you living a life that serves him, that glorifies him, one that is devoted to sharing him with others? Girls, it is my prayer, and it is the prayer of your leaders, and it is the prayer of this church, that each of you will seek, serve, and follow Christ. and that 3GB and other activities that you might be involved with, that you will just see how amazing he is and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. For those of you who aren't following Christ, and this is girls and adults alike, it's our prayer that you will accept Jesus into your lives and that you will let him help you in whatever you face throughout your lives. Keep him at the center. Keep searching for him because he's wanting you to find him. And for the girls who have accepted Jesus into your lives and the adults, keep seeking him, keep following him, and keep serving him. Encourage each other to do this too. And build each other up as you go on this amazing journey with Christ throughout your life. And it's my prayer that you will share your love for Jesus with those around you so that they will see how great he is and all that he has done for them. I want to leave you with three questions. Are you seeking Jesus? Are you following him? And are you serving him? And we're going to pray together. Father, we just thank you for Girls Brigade. We thank you for the impact that that has on girls' lives, Lord. We thank you for the number of them there are here in Wellington. And thank you that every Monday night they are hearing more and more about you, Lord. And we pray for those who don't yet know you. Lord, we just pray that they will seek and that they will find you. And that they will see how amazing you are. And Lord, for those who do know you, who are living a life for you, Lord, just help them to keep going. Give them the boldness and the courage to share you with whoever they come into contact with. So Lord, just during this ministry song, open our hearts, Lord, and open our ears so that you can speak to us. In your name we pray.